From the Summit Responsible Solutions studios, welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and we are missing Lizzie today very much. Lizzie, we hope you get better soon. And Shamar and Ken are filling in for Lizzie this morning. So thank you guys, the dynamic duo.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Doing a great job. And joining me right here in the studios is Dr. Gary Bachman. Gary, it's been fun.
It has. I can't believe we 1 hour is gone already.
If you've missed any of Dr. Gary Bachman's conversation on monarchs and OE, you need to check out the podcast. And he gives a lot of great information. And we're really excited to have him in here today. And so, Gary, it's time now for John Denver.
Let's do it.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is polyphyletic. Polyphyletic, from the International Scientific Vocabulary, from the Greek word polyphylos, meaning many tribes. It was first known used in 1875. And polyphyletic means relating to or derived from more than one ancestral stock. This is a botanical, but specifically relating to a taxonomic group that includes members from different ancestral lineages. In 2007, a molecular phylogenetic study, all big words here, found that the genus Tabebuia was polyphyletic, meaning it represented a group of organisms that did not share a recent common ancestor. When a group is discovered to be polyphyletic, the organisms are reclassified to reflect a more accurate grouping. Accordingly, some trumpet trees have remained in the genus Tabebuia, while others are now in the genus Handroanthus. And I'm mentioning this today because we have some beautiful pink Tabebuias blooming. And so some of them are Tabebuias, and some of them are in the genus Handroanthus. So the Tabebuia heterophylla is known as the pink trumpet tree. It's still a Tabebuia. The Tabebuia pallida, which is the Cuban pink trumpet tree, it's still in the Tabebuia category. And the Tabebuia aurea, which was formerly known as a Tabebuia caraba, is still a Tabebuia. Now for the Handroanthus chrysanthus used to be the Tabebuia chrysotrica, and it's called the golden trumpet tree. The Handroanthus impetigniosa is formerly the Tabebuia impetigniosa. And then the Handroanthus umbellatus was formerly the Tabebuia umbellata. And so those are all divided up because they have different ancestors. So the dirty word of the day is polyphyletic. Did you know the word, Gary?
I did not know the word. And it's kind of one of these, it sounds like a 23andMe kind of thing. When we're doing our own genetics, it's how they're starting to separate plant families out.
They are, because they have different DNA, and they're just saying, okay, it looks like it, but it's not similar. They're cousins, but they're in different families. So I just thought the pink Tabebuias are beautiful blooming right now. They always bloom earlier than the golden or the yellow Tabebuias and Handroanthus. And so it's just lovely to see. Do you grow Tabebuias in Mississippi?
We're a little too far north for that. I wish we could. We probably could if you had a nice protected little alcove or something.
Well, there are some varieties, and I'll get you those species, that will grow in zone 8B. So they a little bit cold. You know, so if you want that, we can get you some for you.
That would be very interesting. I could become like the northern test site for Tabebuya.
There you go. Yes. See, that would be great. You know, every way to you'll be researching everything. You'll be the scientific lab for the South.
But I'm retired, so I've got a kind of
Katie's going. No, you won't.
That's right.
And so, Kate, good morning. We miss seeing you, and we'll see you later on today. And so, so we had a great text message. Daryl from Haines City, he's sending us in photos on our text line. And unfortunately, our text lines, Ken, we don't get text message photos or images.
That is correct. No, we get all the messages, but no pictures.
No pictures. Yeah. So Daryl's posted them to our Facebook page. So I'll check those out later. And he loves growing in earth boxes, too. He's brought them down from Tennessee.
Oh, that's excellent. See, and that's a great example of the mobile garden. You don't have to leave your garden there. You can bring it with you.
Bring it, put it right in the car and come on down.
That's right.
And so, but you don't want to, will the plants still do well on a drive down?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to be protected. You know, you don't want to be driving on, I-95 at, 89 mile an hour blowing in the back.
Sometimes when I see these landscapers and they have all the trees in the back of their trailers, and they're not covered, and they're just blowing in the wind, they're going to get windburn.
Absolutely. They're going to desiccate because it's going to pull all the water out of that plant.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're a landscaper out there and you're moving trees and you're transporting them, you want to make sure that you're covering them up. So we're going to have more. We have Dr. Rachel Malinger. She'll be calling in, and she is with us. She's going to be next. I'm very excited to talk with her. Gary, she has all the information on native bees.
Love it.
All right. So we're going to be right back with that and your phone calls and texts after the bottom of the hour. And so we'll be taking that. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Ah, the sun's out, the water's cool, it's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Attention people with Medicare and anyone turning 65. Are you enrolled in the best Medicare plan available? The average Medicare beneficiary has a choice of 54 Medicare plans, 766 Medicare Part D prescription drug plans, and a record 3,834 Medicare Advantage plans. How do you know you have the right plan? Simple. Call 800-571-7025. That's 800-571-7025. The service is free. You may find a plan with a $0 monthly premium, $0 co-pays, and $0 deductible. Don't gamble. Speak to a licensed agent to find out which plan is right for you. Call 800-571-7025. That's 800-571-7025. 800-571-7025. And let Best Med Care do the work for you.
If your king or queen sago palms have been invaded by Asian cycad scale, it's time to fight back with organic Summit Year-Round Spray Oil. It kills Asian cycad scale and other insect pests. But Summit Year-Round Spray Oil contains no chemical toxins. Insects don't build up a resistance to this horticultural oil, so it keeps working every time you spray. Summit Year-Round Spray Oil is available at fine garden centers and at summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens. And do we have Dr. Malinger online? Oh, good morning, Dr. Malinger. Thank you so much. We have Rachel Malinger. She is a pollinator ecologist focusing primarily on native wild bees. Dr. Malinger's interest focuses their response to human behavior and disturbance and their role in pollination of both crops and wild plants. Her work is instrumental in providing pollinator conservation research to extension faculty, growers, and other agricultural professionals, home gardeners, and landscape designers. Good morning, Rachel. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rachel. This is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
So we're excited to have you on today because I was wanting to update our audience on what the current environmental health status of bees is.
Yeah, it's a good question and a big one. I'm going to break it up into honeybees and other bees or wild bees. For honeybees, you can think of them like livestock. They're domesticated, they're managed, and every year beekeepers lose a certain number of honeybee colonies. So the issue is whether they are losing more than acceptable or more than average. And in some cases, for some beekeepers, yes, that is still true. We are still seeing higher than typical honeybee losses, although that's not true everywhere in the world. And the good news is that we still do have a lot of colonies. We're not looking at a future with no honeybees anytime in the near future.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah, that's good to hear. They do face a number of threats, diseases, pests, pesticide exposure, but we're managing them, and we know how to manage them, and we're coming up with new solutions all the time. For the wild bees, it's a little bit of a different story. There's about 40,000 species worldwide. Some of them we know have adapted to human disturbance and seem to be doing just fine, but there are a number that are declining. And then there are some wild bee species that we just don't really know much about. We don't know whether they're declining or not.
So that's interesting. How many different species of bees did you just say that there are?
About 40,000 worldwide.
Oh, my. With that many bees, how often do homeowners actually come into some kind of contact with those native bees?
Right. Well, in Florida, there's about 320 species. And of those 320, maybe 10 to 20 or so might be frequently found in someone's backyard. If you have a really diverse yard, lots of wild plants, native plants, maybe you have more species than that. You might have a few dozen, you know, maybe even up to 100 in your area, in your yard. But I would say most people are probably only going to be coming into contact with, you know, one or two dozen of the really common ones that are frequently found in people's backyards.
I mean, we have such wonderful native ones like blueberry bees.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good.
Exactly.
But do they look like bumblebees? What would somebody look for? Do they look like wasps or bees?
Right. The blueberry bees look a bit like bumblebees. And bumblebees are another group of native bees that we have. And there are, depending on where you live, where I am in Florida, there's about 5 species of bumblebees. You know, elsewhere you might have a dozen or so. And the blueberry bees do look a bit like bumblebees. They're small, or rather kind of, you know, medium size for a bee. So they might be a little smaller than a bumblebee, but they have that typical black coloration with yellow hairs, and they're quite round like a bumblebee. But many of our wild bees do not look like that. They don't have black and yellow or black and orange coloration. They're not round. We have some bees that are long and slender and metallic green, others that are long and slender and metallic blue. We have carpenter bees, which are even bigger than bumblebees. And then we have some that are really tiny that are closer to the size of an ant.
That's interesting. With the big diversity of you know, of their appearance, do they all pollinate flowers the same way?
No, definitely not. They have different behaviors. They have different floral preferences. So some will be pollinators of plants, say, in the sunflower family. Others will like to visit plants in the pea or bean family, things like, you know, clovers. There are others that really like plants in the mint family. So they have different preferences, and they also pollinate a little bit differently, too. Some, for example, will carry the pollen on the underside of their abdomen. Others will carry it on their legs or more on their face and mouth parts. Some do what we call nectar rob. So they will try to get the nectar without coming into contact with the pollen. They create slits in the flower and just poke their mouth parts through those slits. and that might do a little bit of pollination. It can still pick up and transfer some pollen, but it's not as effective. So yeah, a variety of behaviors, ways of coming into contact with flowers.
Well, this is kind of in the same line, but it's not one of the questions I was going to ask. But so leafcutter bees, are those native to Florida? And do they really hurt plants when they cut out those little holes?
Good question. They are native to Florida. We have a number of native leafcutter bees. In fact, Florida has a relatively high diversity of leafcutter bees. It's not just a single species. We've got 20 plus species of leafcutter bees in Florida. And these bees, they do cut leaves to form their nests, but we don't think it has any negative impact on plants. As far as we know, they're not going to be removing enough leaf matter to actually damage the plants. And they don't transmit any diseases that we know of, like some insect pests. So they're not transmitting diseases when they cut those little bits of leaf out. So no real worries there.
I see them mostly on my roses. And yes. And then some trees, I will see holes cut out. Would those be the same leaf cutter bees?
Yeah, it's a good question. I definitely know that they use roses. For tree leaves, it might be something else. Usually what you want to look for with the leaf cutters is that it'll be kind of on the edge of the leaves, and it's really sort of perfectly circular. If you're seeing circles that are not on the edge of the leaf, but more like in the center of the leaf and might be a little more jagged, that's probably a different kind of pest. It's almost more like a U shape because they're cutting at the edge of that leaf.
That's interesting. Now, a question I have, and I've gotten this, I'm a retired extension horticulture professor, but I've had people ask, you know, how can we recognize if we do have, you know, these native bees in our garden? You know, can we see their, you know, their nesting sites, or do they nest in trees or in the ground, or what mm-hmm. what can a homeowner look for?
They are a bit mysterious that way.
Okay.
Many of the bees that we have in our backyards are solitary. Individual females will have their own nests, so they don't. They're not social. They don't have queens with hundreds of workers. It's just an individual female. You can think of her like a single mom. And she might only lay a dozen or so eggs, have a dozen or so offspring. So they don't have these huge colonies, which makes them less visible. And then many of them nest below ground. So that also makes them less visible. Now, sometimes these solitary bees will nest in the same area. They are communal. So it is still each female, single mom, has her own nest, but you might see multiple nest entrances in one area. But in other cases, the nests are really distributed, kind of isolated, and they're really small little holes. So they're not easy to see. You'd be looking for just, you know, a single little small hole in the ground and a single bee kind of going in and out.
That's great. And so I do see them occasionally, especially when I'm traipsing in the woods. I see them in the ground, and sometimes I can see a little bee going through if I stand and watch on it. But how aggressive are the native bees? Should people be afraid of them?
Not very aggressive. Aggression does tend to kind of track how social the bee is. The social bees that we have in Florida are the bumblebees. Those are the primary social bees that we have, in addition to honeybees. And so bumblebees can be a little aggressive if you do have a bumblebee nest in your yard. Even there, though, they're generally less aggressive than honeybees, and they're only going to be aggressive if you step on the nest or come near to the nest. The other bees that we have, for the most part, are solitary. There are some exceptions. There's some other species that can be social. But most of these solitary bees, they're just not very aggressive because they don't have these large nests to protect. So for the most part, you know, they're not aggressive. And of all bees, solitary and social, if you're encountering them on flowers, they're generally not aggressive. They're only aggressive at the nest because they're protecting that nest. And so if you're watching them, you know, on your flowers in your garden, unless you try to catch one and squeeze it with your hand, you really don't have to worry about them being aggressive.
I would be aggressive if somebody did that to me,
well,
too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, what kind of research studies can you share with the audience this morning that you're working on?
One of our research studies is looking at factors that might enhance a pollinator garden for pollinators. And this could be a garden in your home. It could be a garden at a nearby botanical garden. And so we're looking at a few different things. We're looking at what plants attract an abundance and diversity of pollinators. We're comparing native plants and non-native plants, and also plants that are more wild type and ones that are more domesticated. And we're also comparing all of these plants under two different irrigation treatments, ones that are more highly irrigated, frequently watered, and others where we're trying to have some water conservation implementation, and we're not irrigating them as much. And the goal there is to find plants that are both water-friendly and pollinator-friendly. And then the other component of that study is looking at in what landscapes pollinator gardens are most effective. So we've been implementing them in rural, suburban, and more urban landscapes. And then finally, we're doing some social science looking at barriers to pollinator gardening, things like HOA, homeowner association restrictions, economics. What are the barriers to people, you know, putting in these kinds of plants in their homes and gardens?
Wow, that's super. That's good to know. And so what is the most important thing, Rachel, that homeowners can do for native bees this day?
I would say the most important thing is to have flowers, ideally native flowers, and ideally flowers that can bloom throughout the year. It might not be a single species blooming throughout the year, but a diversity of native flowers that bloom throughout most of the year. And then minimize insecticide use and even fungicide use in your garden to the extent possible. You don't want to have a bunch of flowers and then kill the bees that are visiting them. So if you can do both of those things, that's the most important thing. Bees really need flowers and benefit from native plants.
Wonderful. So Dr. Rachel Malinger, thank you so much. Where can homeowners find out more information about Florida's native bees and your research?
The best place to find information about Florida bees in particular, if you go to my lab's website, which is my name, rachelmalinger.com, we have a page for extension, and we have some documents there. We have a document on Florida's native wild bees, an introduction to that. We also have a document on gardening wild bees.
Rachel, we're up against a hard break right here. Thanks for coming on.
But I'm going to post it later. Thank you, Rachel.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Dr. Gary Bachman. She's Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees.
please. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-897-5406. 800-897-5406. 800-897-5406. That's 800-897-5406.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA. The only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-361-1289. 800-361-1289. 800-361-1289. That's 800-361-1289.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-218-5088. 800-218-5088. 800-218-5088. That's 800-218-5088.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the Tax Doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. That's 800-917-8611.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm joined this morning with Dr. Gary Bachman in the studio, and we would love to have your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680. What kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? Well, even though we've got some warm weather, Gary,
yeah,
we can still be planting beets and broccoli and
absolutely,
carrots and cauliflower, celery and collards, endive and kohlrabi, lettuce, mustard, peas, potatoes, and radishes, Swiss chard, and turnips. And Daryl Coleman, he posted on our Facebook page his beautiful earth boxes, and he's got some lettuce growing there.
Oh, yeah, Daryl, those look great. And I love that you've got them up on the tables because that means it's easier on your back. It's one of the beautiful things about an earth box, Teresa. You can adjust the garden to make it comfortable for you.
Yes, and exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how big is an earth box?
Earth box, think of it as a big window box. It's about 32 inches long, 12 inches wide, and about 12 inches deep.
So, and they're really lightweight.
They're lightweight if they're not filled.
If they're not filled.
That they hold 2 cubic feet of mix, 2 gallons of water. A full earth box with plants in it can weigh 90 pounds.
Wow.
So you just can't put them on little flimsy tables. You have to have great tables like Daryl's built.
Right. They look great, Daryl.
Yes, they
Thank
did.
You for sharing.
Yep.
Let's go to Lois in Orlando. Good morning, Lois.
Hi. I am going crazy with oxalis. I had areas that I had cleared out, and this year they're popping up everywhere.
Oxalis. Okay. So, Gary, do you suffer with oxalis?
We do have oxalis. I think everybody in the South has oxalis. You know, to tell you the truth, you're almost too late this year.
Yes.
You're better off to just go ahead and, you know, hoe it out, rogue it out, mow them. You know, oxalis is really better treated with a pre-emerge in the fall of the year because it's a cool season weed.
Right. So so before they start to grow, you want to put it down. So I would suggest in October, November to prevent those winter weeds from coming.
Right.
And then don't let it go to flower and seed, because then they're going to be back next year. So you mow them, take them down, cut them out, don't let them flower. And then next, fall, go ahead and put a pre-emergent down that will prevent the weed seeds from growing. Okay?
Okay. I've spent hours digging them up and taking those little seeds and putting them in a barrel and throwing them away, and they're back again. And I do throw the flowers away, although they're really pretty.
They are.
So, Lois, I have a question. What color are the flowers?
Pink.
Pink, that's a little naturalized, non-native oxalis that produces the little bulblets.
Yes.
It's not like the weedy oxalis.
Right.
Which you and I were talking about.
Right, exactly. So that could be from another person in the area who has them as a flower?
They're naturalized. They're a naturalized native, quotation marks here. All across the Southeast.
And it's kind of like what the little, what is a purple flower? Oh, goodness, it comes up. And it grows violets.
Violets.
We have Florida native violets, too, that could be considered weeds if they come up in the wrong area.
Right, right.
So, you know, I would suggest that you do if you don't want them. What kind of grass do you have? Or are they just coming up in the beds?
No, it's in my, I have our garden and areas. And I had areas cleared out. And then I had a problem, couldn't take care of it as well last year.
Sure.
And they're all back again. And do I have to get all those little seeds out to get rid of them?
Yeah, you have to get the little bulbs out.
I know. Yeah.
What I have done in my garden, Lois, they have popped up. I've accepted them. I've embraced them, and I like the little pink color, even though it's not all neat and tidy like I want it. It's like, look, it wants to grow in my garden. I'm going to let it grow. So there's another option for you.
Just your perspective, okay, Lois? I know your gardens are beautiful.
Do I have any more time? Or
sure, go right ahead. No, go right ahead.
What about pruning? I have a lot of mandevilla. The ones that don't grow tall, I've forgotten that name, and then I have the vining one. Can those be pruned?
I would suggest waiting another couple of weeks. We're still going to get a couple of more freezes possibly before the end of winter.
Yeah.
We're just very fortunate. Okay. It's just been a warm winter, lots of rain,
and
El Nino.
It's been a wonderful winter.
It has. Yeah. And so, but we still may get the possibility of cutting it. And they're so tropical that if we get a freeze and it's starting to produce new leaves, it'll zap it even harder. So I would wait till the beginning of March. And then when you prune them at the beginning of March, then we'll be all out of the freeze, warning period. So
would you cut them back fairly a lot, or just a third, or
well,
I mean, what do you
I
do?
Would say, is this the vining one?
Well, I have the vining, and then I have several of the not vining.
Okay, so the ones that are not vining, I would cut back. I wouldn't cut the vine back.
Yeah, I would be tempted just to leave the vine and
okay.
let it start growing where it wants to start growing along that vine. You'd hate to cut it okay. back too far, you know, and really stunt the growth of a really great landscape plant.
Yep.
Okay. Some of them they're actually blooming, you know. And one more question, if you have time.
That's all right. We're sending you an hourly bill. Go ahead.
Crown of Thorns. I have the ones with the big pretty flowers, you know, the big flowers.
Uh-huh.
And I had the pinky one and the red one. The pinky ones are all pretty much red. What happens? Was that the cool weather? Because I left them out.
So it reverted back to red?
It seems to be.
Okay, so Crown of Thorns, Gary. Uh-huh. Sometimes they put multiple colors in a pot.
Yeah, multiple plants in a pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it may be that, and sometimes they do go back and revert back to their original color.
Yep.
I have at least three pots of the what were the pink ones, not near my red, and they were lovely. Shade of red, not the bright red.
There you go. Ta-da! You got it.
That yeah. happens a lot with hybrids with flower color that they plant. If they're not completely stable, that they'll go back to their original color.
So
okay.
All right, Lois. Nothing you're doing, and now you've got a beautiful red one. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We've got just
okay.
a few more seconds, Gary. So you know we see that reverting back in Aztec grass.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in Dianella frutensis. It reverts back to a solid green color.
Yep.
And even in some of our crotons, we can see it reverting back.
Yeah, a lot of our variegated plants will revert. You'll see a variegation, and the growers all go, ooh, there's a new plant to do. And then 2 years later, it's back to green.
It is.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen. And so we're going to take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967. You can take advantage of Gary being here from Mississippi, and we love having him here. And you can also text message us 23680 and go to our Facebook page and like us and follow us on your favorite podcast so you know when we upload a show.
You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Dr. Gary Bachman. She's Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Hey, you, with the shopping cart. It's us, Leafy Greens.
Leafy what?
Greens. Delicious, locally grown leafy green vegetables. I'm romaine. This is arugula.
Hello.
Spinach.
Ahoy.
Escarole and endive.
Bonjour.
Right. I put you guys on my sandwiches.
Oh. We're more than just a sandwich layer.
We add crunch to your salads.
Flavor to soups.
And a little je ne sais quoi to your dishes.
That is... if you let us. For meals with personality, look for the Sunny Fresh from Florida logo where you shop.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587.
That's 800-240-4587.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nygaard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-296-1343. 800-296-1343. 800-296-1343. That's 800-296-1343.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and I am joined today in the studio by my good friend and dear expert, garden expert, Dr. Gary Bachman.
Morning, Teresa. We're having fun, aren't we, this morning?
And poor Ken and Shamar, they're just going crazy with us.
Keeping us on our toes in here.
And so just really, we've got some great text messages coming up, and we can still take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have a lot of those coming up and a lot of good questions, Gary.
Yep.
So Renee in East Orlando, she has a 4-foot pencil cactus, which is really a nice size.
Absolutely. I'd like to see a picture of that myself.
That would be wonderful. It's full. When could she trim and how?
Well, you know, when we first looked at Renee's question, we were kind of thinking, why do you want to trim it? Because I'll bet it's gorgeous. Unless, Renee, it's just too tall and you want to reduce it. I wouldn't feel bad if you wanted to take it, you know, reduce the height down a third.
Yeah, always by a third. That's what I was telling someone this week. You can reduce plants by a third without stressing it out too much.
Right. And that should stimulate some new growth and be even prettier with the red tips.
And what she prunes off, she can stick in a pot and it'll grow.
It has more. That's right.
You know, so you've got a wonderful opportunity there to have more pencil cactus. What I love about them in the wintertime, they turn red with the cold temperatures.
Right, yeah.
It's really cool. Now, how would you want Renee to handle the milky sap of the euphorbia?
One of the things with that sap, it could cause some dermatitis.
Yeah, a little bit. You want to use gloves.
I would wear gloves. And if you cut that off and then you want to try and propagate those, I'd leave those cuttings out for a couple days and let those cut ends, the cuttings will heal over.
Right,
Just like humans. And then stick those in a pot with some potting mix.
And it's good to go.
Keep fingers crossed.
There you go. Yeah. Great question, Renee. We'd love to see a picture of that. Post it to our Facebook page. And then, so the next question is, I don't know who it is. Oh, they're from Tallahassee. Okay, I don't know the name. My Christmas cactus did not bloom at all in Christmas. Now in the beginning of February, it's full of bright pink blooms. Yeah. What's going on? And Gary, you had the perfect answer.
Well, you know, the Christmas cactus to bloom at Christmas has to either be the right temperature, the right light, the right moisture. It wasn't at Christmas. It is now. I think that you've got a rare Valentine's Day cactus. I mean, I just think just go with it. Don't think there's anything wrong. Promote it. Amaze all your friends.
There you go.
Yeah.
I would just say yes, exactly.
I have a question about that.
Fire away.
There's a Christmas cactus. I've seen some labeled Thanksgiving cactus. I have my mother-in-law, when she passed away, we brought her her Christmas cactus to the house. And my wife has been taking pieces and putting in the different ones in the patio. And they bloom all the time. in the summer, they were blooming.
Yeah, I would just say it depends on the amount of light, fertilizer, or water. It can start blooming when it's happy. The other thing could be, and this is what happens with some plants, is when they think they're dying, they will bloom so they can reproduce seeds, and the species will continue. So it's one of those two things. Yeah, it's either very happy or...
I don't know what your wife is doing, but she's doing it right if she can keep it bloom. Seriously.
Yeah.
And keep it blooming all year round.
I mean, I came home one day, and it was 110 degrees out, and I thought that was a Christmas cactus. It's like flowers all over. She goes, I don't know. They just do it all the time.
That's a wonderful plant. You're doing something right there. So,
absolutely.
It's great. Send us pictures, Ken. That would be lovely. And so it's funny because, you know, again, some plants like the bougainvillea, people love to water it and give it fertilizer. And all you're going to get is green leaves.
Yep.
It's not going to go into that stress state that's going to produce those bracts.
Yeah, bougainvillea, that's a great example of a plant that almost thrives on neglect.
It is.
You know, sometimes you don't even want to look at it.
Right.
You know, don't let it see you looking as you walk by. No, seriously, I believe that there are plants like that, and bougainvillea is a great example of that.
And yet poinsettias... What stimulates their turning to red is the lower daylight hours.
Right. Yeah.
So longer nights will start them to stimulate them into producing bracts. Because all poinsettias have white flowers, but the bracts are really leaves.
People really think the colorful bracts are the flower. Now the flowers are the little cyanthia.
Yes.
Get a fancy botanical word there.
I have a dirty word coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be a great dirty word.
That would be a great one.
Okay, super. I got it.
Okay. But the bracts are the color up. They're modified leaves, and they cut, and that's why we grow them for those colorful bracts.
They're beautiful. Yeah. I had a really creamy white one this year, and it had pointed bracts.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous, and it's just amazing. So 1-888, we have just a few more minutes. 1-888-455-2967. You're going to want to go to Peterson's Nursery next week. They have their talk on vegetables, growing vegetables, and that will be next week. And I'll remind you next week too on that. And Howie, thank you for letting us know. The Orchid Show is next week, the 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Orlando Garden Club. You're going to want to hear that. And then today in Lakeland is the African Violet Show. So we've got it all covered there.
Absolutely.
All different varieties of plants.
Yeah, just a great selection of plant species from my perspective, because I don't get to see the big groups like this
exactly.
as much as you do.
Exactly. And so, Gary, you were talking about seeds. So what are you really excited about growing this year that you've got new seeds for?
Well, I'm a pepper head just like Tony.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be growing a lot of peppers this year. I'm also, a new project of mine is I'm going to start producing seeds of specialty peppers, and we're going to sell them out of our Heritage Cottage
Urban Nano Farm.
That's right.
Wonderful. You'll have to come back on and tell us about it so people can get all, because you get seeds from all over the world.
I scour the catalogs and scour sources. 2 years ago, I grew 63 varieties of peppers. Only 3 bell peppers. The rest were all old Landrace, all old genetic chilies from Southwest, Central, South America.
And even some...
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe. Aleppo
was from Aleppo, Syria.
Oh, so that's even further south.
But Macedonia area, Ukraine area.
Wow.
A lot of pepper selections have come out of there. They're very interesting.
You'll have to keep us apprised of that. That'll be wonderful.
Of course I will.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. We'll let everybody know. We'd like to also thank Dr. Rachel Malinger for coming on. She was great, gave us a lot of great information. She's doing wonderful research up at the University of Florida on native bees. I will be posting her information on our Facebook page, and you can go to her Facebook page, or you go to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and I will have her website on there too as well. And if you missed any of today's shows, especially the first hour where Dr. Gary Bachman and I discuss the monarch butterfly and the tropical milkweed with OE, you're going to want to see that and or listen to that, and I'll be posting that as well.
Yeah, that was great. That was a fun discussion.
It was. It really
was. Two horticulturists talking about bugs.
I know, we get so excited. Poor Ken and Shamar, you've been going crazy with us. And so let's see, Linda, where should you send pictures? Oh, of the Christmas cactus. Go ahead and send them to on our betterlawns.com page. We will get that. You can post pictures on that. You can also go to my webpage as well, which is www.shehe-consulting.com, and send me pictures there, and we would love to see them. Or you can post on Facebook too as well. And so, Gary, so what is your schedule? You're going back home when? Next week?
Heading back on Tuesday, hoping that my garden is in good shape. Nobody's been taking care of it for the last 14 days, longest I've ever left my children like that. So but we'll see what's happening. And going to start the spring crop of tomatoes, get seeded very soon. Then we're going to do peppers. Then, you know.
Do you do any eggplant?
I don't do eggplant. We only like the little eggplant. We don't like the big football eggplants.
Okay.
We like the little, like the fairy tale.
Sure.
You know, the little 3-4 inchers.
Right.
I may grow a couple of those.
Right.
But they're fantastic on the grill.
So now, do you see a lot of butterflies in your yard?
Absolutely.
Wow.
We are a
monarch.
We're a monarch way station. We're a stop on the Rosalind Carter Butterfly Trail. And I do like zinnias. They love zinnias. I grow a lot of butterfly weed. The monarchs are always there. A lot of citrus. So I have the giant swallowtails.
Yes.
Yeah, we are loaded with butterflies every summer.
That's wonderful. That zinnias were the first flower I ever learned to draw.
Is that right?
Yeah, just do circles all the way around. Yeah. I love doing that. And so, well, I thank you so much for coming on. Future plans. Got anything going on with the seeds? You're going to start that seed?
Yep. The seed production I started last year. My Shopify store will be hopefully live by next Friday.
Excellent.
I didn't want that to go live while I was traveling.
No.
So we'll do that and keep my fingers crossed. That's going to be fun.
Thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you so much, Dr. Bachman, for being here. Ken, Shamar, thank you so much. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
This season's hottest accessory hit shelves decades ago and has been flying off them ever since. It's functional, it's attractive, and it's the smart choice. Life jackets. Seen here on the model, life jackets complement any figure and bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the waters.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket anytime you're out on the water. Visit wearitflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-786-9014. That's 800-786-9014.